If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Borussia Dortmund have won the European Cup Winners' Cup.
You can feel the passion, the emotion.
And Dortmund, against all the odds, are European champions.
Hey, Borussia fans, welcome to Believe in Borussia, your podcast about Borussia Dortmund, episode number 37. My name is Thilo. Let's get right to it. The Klassiker is casting its shadow, and while ultras from Munich to Dortmund probably cringe at the label of the Klassiker, I find it quite fitting, to be honest, and it's nice that it has a moniker here in the States that everyone knows it's Bayern Munich versus Borussia Dortmund time, and it's, of course, the biggest game in the Bundesliga. It's not the biggest derby, especially not if you're a Dortmund fan, but let's be real with our blue neighbors taking, you know, a year of absence in the second division, and really the league being a 1.5 horse race, if you want to be so bold. This game probably shows the most of the talent and has the highest stakes in the league, period. So normally people gravitate to it, and for some that are just getting into it, I think it's obvious, a great choice to kind of, yeah, get into the Bundesliga and get into the teams and have a look. So, but before we do that, just a quick word from our sponsor, RealQuick, over at BetOnline, because it's super easy to get started. You can just head over to the website today, use your mobile device to join, and use a promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your, and here it comes, 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You may just use it for the Klassiker. BetOnline, where the game starts. So here we are, Klassiker time again, Bayern Munich versus Borussia Dortmund, and I am semi-enthused. I don't know about you, but I am not as thrilled as with some of the other meetings that we had in the past. And I'm not referring to the record necessarily. It's more, there doesn't seem a lot to gain for Borussia Dortmund, but much to lose. So yes, I'm kind of semi-excited about it. Let's say Borussia wins, then Bayern Munich would still have to, I think, lose every other game, the last three that they have, and Dortmund has to win all of their games from out here to crown themselves champion. Doesn't sound super likely. Let's say Borussia Dortmund wins emphatically. Well, that would be nice, but it would also feel a little bit of a wasted opportunity or a wasted chance, given that in the past, an emphatic win in Munich would have actually made a difference in the league standings or in the championship race. And I suspect not a lot of the team will be there next season, so it's also not a case of, oh, here they come and they're growing, and then next year, you know, they just huddle up again. No, I actually suspect we will see quite a few new faces, so there isn't really that much to take away from that either, like in terms of just a test that the teams have and kind of know maybe for when the situation is a little closer, oh, we can get them, because again, it will be different players. So the other way around, well, a tie, I guess that would be an outcome that's okay for everyone, sort of like a gentleman's sweep in a way, because Bayern would still become champion, just not this weekend, which would work for me. And yeah, you know, Borussia Dortmund can save face, but I suspect Bayern, after also having some crappy weeks and very dodgy results in the league, losing, for example, to, was it Bielefeld? Yeah, they lost to Bielefeld. No, Bochum, of course. Sorry, Bochum. And Villarreal. That was definitely not one of their highest moments in the club's history. So I think they will see this as an opportunity to set some things right. And yeah, what a better way to kind of appease your fan base by stamping out your arch nemesis on a domestic level in your own stadium to celebrate your championship. I mean, if I would be a player, that would definitely get me more excited than the other way around, which is probably also why I'm a little worried about this game. And to make matters worse, of course there is a bunch of players missing, and I'm not just talking about our usual suspects. Witzel is questionable or out again after making his return and actually scoring against Wolfsburg. Wolf questionable, Zagadou questionable. Definitely out is Mats Hummels, Mo Dahoud, Donny Marlin, Meunier. And then Reyna again, as you probably know, or maybe you didn't realize, that Gio Reyna actually came back. He was back on the pitch and then he got subbed off in tears 2 weeks ago against Stuttgart. And again, he's out, and he's out for the season with a hamstring injury. So get better, Gio. Tough break. But yeah, if you didn't follow super closely and you'd think he was still out, and you actually haven't missed much. And the biggest miss and a new name on the list is Gregor Kobel. And despite us eating goals like it's candy, Kobel actually has played a very, very decent debut season for Borussia Dortmund, in my opinion. And he's much better than the goal against record indicates, which also means that there's more strain on our defense, which is not necessarily the game that I would like that to happen. I mean, you never want an injury to your players, let alone your starting personnel, but in a game like this, where everybody will be watching around the world, and Bayern definitely having more of a top-heavy approach in terms of their quality right now, having Kobel out definitely sucks. And just another reason why I'm only semi-excited about this game. So that kind of blows. Again, also blows that Gio is out after that Stuttgart game. And by the way, during the Stuttgart game, or before that Stuttgart game, some fans, quote-unquote, of VfB Stuttgart attacked a deaf Borussia Dortmund fan from the deaf Borussia Dortmund fan club. How messed up do you have to be to beat up on a handicapped person that is just trying to find their way? They were looking to get into the fan section, into the away section, I think. At least that's what I heard. And they were carrying their banner. So that was enough to rile up the ultras. And brave as they were, the Stuttgart ultras, they came for, I think it was two Dortmund fans, one of them deaf, as I said, from the deaf Borussia Dortmund fan club, and beat them up. Fabulous. Really strong showing, Stuttgart. Very nice. Jesus. Again. I hope the fan is better, and, you know, shout out to the first deaf Borussia Dortmund fan club. You know, I think what they're doing is great, and I think it just speaks volumes to the club that we have fans from all walks of life. And yeah, I hope they're doing better, and I hope they will be coming out to games again in the future, and, you know, I'm looking forward to see their banner hang again, home and away. But anyway, I digressed a little. Getting back to the Bayern game, which, yeah, I guess I didn't even want to talk about too much. I guess another thing that I'm just kind of expecting is, you know, players coming out with a similar lack of clear orientation or goal. Obviously, you want to win. They're pros. But that's just saying like, oh, I, you know, would like to earn more money or go on vacation. That's not really something to inspire you, you know, to rally the troops. That should be a given. The more likely scenario for me is some BS in the neighborhood of, we will play our game. What the hell does that even mean, play our game? If you would be a management major and that would be sort of your strategy or a tactic, play our game, I'd kick you out of the room. I'd kick, you know, shut off your presentation. Goals should be smart. And if you don't know what that means, maybe you want to look it up, but measurable is one of the key attributes here. How is player a game measurable? It should be, we want to be, I don't know, in this section of the court, or we want to keep someone to a limit of X touches, or we will try to create set pieces, or make so and so many crosses, or have a certain amount of possession. Goals that are actually measurable and smart, you know, however that translates. Playing our game is just the equivalent mindset of, yeah, like I said, winning or just going to work. Dude, that's your job. That's not going to cut it in general, and especially in a game like this. And it's just one of these modern soccer generic quotes that players like to say because it really doesn't mean anything. It sounds a little smart, sounds better than just saying nothing or but really it doesn't mean jack. It means you're just sort of playing around. Play my game. Yeah. No, you should be about, I want to run more than I did last game because that's what it's going to take. Or I am going to try to win X amount of my challenges or go into more challenges than I usually do. If my season averages is 4 tackles, maybe I'll try to go for 6. Something like that. Something that just makes a little more sense than this, like, play our game because it just kind of like means, yeah, we'll come on the pitch and then we'll wait and see. We'll play the ball around in the back or maybe we'll, you know, run forward a little bit. But that never really works in my opinion because whenever there's a change in the game, for example, when we fall behind or whatever, this player or game BS just never works because what is your game actually? You don't know. And then all of a sudden you think you play your game, you're behind and then everything falls apart. So, yeah, I hope, I really do. And I mean, obviously there will be a bit more depth and detail, but this kind of mindset of just playing our game, just one of those things that, I don't know, I can't really do much with. Like, I'd rather them say nothing or say something of, look, we want to win or we want to avoid, you know, go on record and say, we do not want Bayern Munich to celebrate. We'll do what it takes and whatever that is to at least get a tie. That might bite you in the ass, but at the very least, it sets the level of expectation a little higher and it makes it a little more concrete, which in a season that seems so listless at times, I think is necessary. Okay, I rambled and ranted enough about the Klassiker. Let's see how it pans out. Maybe we'll just have a look around and see what else was going on. For example, Borussia Dortmund will play a charity match against Dynamo Kiev on the 26th. And it will be live on German TV and the proceeds will go to relieve the stress of war for Ukraine and Ukrainian refugees, as far as I know, which I think a great initiative. And yeah, go on the website, check it out. I'm sure there will probably also be a link to donate even more if you want to. It's definitely a decent cause and I'm, you know, grateful and happy that Dortmund does something like that and supports Kiev, who I think have been playing a bunch of friendlies. I think they were in Poland too, played one there, just to raise awareness and money and seeing the atrocities happening in the war and the millions of people fleeing their homes, I think that's the least you know, soccer can do, and I'm happy that Borussia Dortmund is getting involved again. A little less, sad note, actually a very, very, very happy note, quite a contrast. The Borussia Dortmund under 19 team are West German champions again. They beat VfL Bochum 3-0, and now they're semi-final bound. So how it works in Germany is that with these youth teams, they don't play all in one giant domestic league. They have different regions. So Borussia Dortmund won the West, but since the West has historically been pretty good, they automatically advance to the nationals, so to speak, to the Final Four. So Borussia Dortmund is Final Four bound again, which is great. And the team, the under-19, is obviously very, very talented, as we've seen, you know, in the game against Bochum, in the game against Wolfsburg, of course. And I'll talk about that in a second. So that's definitely something, you know, in terms of the future, that makes me very hopeful. And I'm just going to bounce between good and bad news, or maybe that's both, depending on where you stand on. But Borussia Dortmund also has let go of their physiotherapist, or the contract runs out at the end of the season. He's been with Borussia Dortmund for, I think, 11 years, so quite a while. Must have been joining under Klopp then, actually, and still experienced the highest of high times then. Obviously, there's an issue with injuries. Now, I can't really tell if that's, you know, the fault of the physio or of the team that is working there. It certainly is within his realm of responsibility, but I don't know if I would go so far and say, you know, it's good riddance, it was his fault. I will say it might be, after 11 years, a good opportunity to try something new, bring in some fresh ideas. That can never hurt. So let's hope we can get our medical department better yet, you know, improve more, add more expertise across all the issues that we've been having, and that we see less injuries and more of our actual players in the future. So that would be great. What else? Marco Rose met with the Ultras a couple of weeks back. Yeah, he sat down with the BVB Ultras and just talked with them about the club, about, you know, their concerns, the support, this, that. I mean, obviously these kind of conversations remain pretty clandestine, as they should, so people can speak openly. And I think it's a good move. I think it's important that there is a, you know, an exchange between the active fan scene and the team. And it's one of those things where I think, like, you know, good on Rose, good that he does something like that. I don't know how regular first team coaches, especially as a club, at a club as Borussia Dortmund is big, where you quite certainly have a lot on your plate, would do that. And yeah, just makes me wonder still, with moments like this, do you stick with Marco Rose and just sort out some of the underperforming players, which we surely had, because we have been underperforming all season and somebody has to be the underperformer? Or is he part of the problem? Is he part of the solution, or is he part of the problem? And it's really, really hard to tell. And it's also hard to tell if he warrants the faith to stick it out with him, bring in a bunch of new players that apparently fit his system or his ideas a little better. And you won't really know until you try, which kind of sucks, and which makes Aki Watzke, Sebastian Kehl's and Zorc's job so hard. I know all the you know, experts at home and on Twitter always know everything better, but in real life, you usually don't have this type of clairvoyant skill, so you need to make an assessment, and then if there's human, you know, interactions as well involved, personal and sympathetic sort of like relationships, as you hopefully have, because that would be pretty awful if they couldn't stand each other. I don't think you could work well together. So Tough one. I am uncertain, and maybe we'll discuss this a little more at length at the end of the season when it's all said and done in a couple of games. But yeah, for me, the verdict is still out, and I'm at least wondering if we should move on. I'm pretty sure we will. The Champions League is safe. That's maybe, again, on a good note. Borussia Dortmund is completely safe in the Champions League because I think Freiburg and Leverkusen play each other on the final match day, so they will take points off each other, which means we have qualified. And that's an achievement. It's the minimum goal, but it's still an achievement, considering we've also almost fallen short a few times over the last couple of years. Securing it 5 match days before the end is commendable. But yeah, it still is the question, is it enough? And not the qualifying for Champions League not enough, but have we done enough with the means that there were available? And I'm not sure about that. So, but again, it's always easy to make those calls at hindsight. It's difficult to make them in advance. At the beginning of the season, last season, when all the coaches swept around, I think people would have expected a lot of things to go different. Who would have thought that Glasner won the coaching carousel? I think he won the coaching carousel, even though Frankfurt is in the middle of the pack right now. But what he's been doing in the Europa League and kicking out Barcelona and the way they did it, and now being in the semifinal and having a real shot at winning the Europa League, which actually means something to Frankfurt, as it should, is astonishing. I mean, I think for Frankfurt fans, that's probably a once-in-a-lifetime moment he has delivered the season. And you can tell. You can tell the excitement with the players, with the club, with the fans. And Glasner said it himself, post-match Barcelona. You know, those are the moments that make sport sport. That's what makes sport special. That's something you can only experience when working in sports, working in soccer. And boy, did they, you know, make a meal of it. So who would have thought that, you know, him leaving Wolfsburg, who are now fighting relegation, was actually the right thing to do. And even though Frankfurt also have quite a few issues, especially at home, I think they pale in comparison to what they did in Europe, in particular against Barcelona. And if they can keep up that mentality and that hunger, they can also get it done against West Ham and, yeah, go to the final and win the damn thing. So, good on him. Medium on Rose. Pretty not so good on Hütter, I would say. So, who would have known in the beginning that it would pan out this way? And since I just mentioned Wolfsburg, just reminds me, during the Wolfsburg game, the hammering, Marco Reus scored his 100th and 101st Bundesliga assist. Another milestone for Reus here. 101 assists in the Bundesliga is pretty rare air. Only 4 players in the history of the league have recorded more than 100 assists in the Bundesliga. Next up, another Dortmund great, Andreas Müller with 109 assists. And then there's Franck Ribéry. And at the top, in very, very rare air, with an impressive 186 and counting assists, Thomas Müller. So, still quite an accomplishment for Marco. And he will keep on raking in these records as he's bound to, I think, extend his contract as well. I've heard those rumors, and I'm pretty sure that will be more a formality. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's deserved. And I would love nothing less than seeing Marco Reus lift the trophy as captain with Borussia Dortmund before it's all said and done. That would be fantastic. I really, really, really want him to win. I really want us to experience that together. But, yeah, maybe back to the Wolfsburg game. I think it was a decent game. But let's not, you know, get ahead of ourselves. It was against a completely hapless side. It was a little bit like the Gladbach game in a way. The result was maybe a tad too high. Because if Kobel doesn't scratch, I think, the Mjacha shot off the line, that game might go in a completely different way. We go down again in the first couple of minutes, and that full stadium all of a sudden becomes baggage to the players. They get antsy, you know, fall off their player game plan, and, you know, it goes the other way. But luckily, we had Kobel, and again, that's why I'm a little less optimistic for the Bayern game, where we don't have Kobel, but here we had him. He scratched off the line, and then Borussia Dortmund unleashed a fantastic 15 minutes against, a club that really is not fighting anymore. And you wonder why, because they are actually in dire straits, threatening to be relegated. And why am I saying they're not fighting? Well, they didn't even run 100 kilometers as a team. Usually, I think the average for a Bundesliga team should be like 100, 110 or something like that. Under 100 is just awful. That's like historically bad. I think I read somewhere that no Wolfsburg team, even with less players, even with 10 players, has run less since this statistic has been raised in the Bundesliga. That's crazy. So you're doing less work than teams with 10 or 9 players. Why are you getting slaughtered? Like, how the heck is that possible? Like, again, players, you know, you would assume that they all want to win and put their effort and they're all into it, but they don't. They just don't. I mean, you see it on the pitch when you watch these games. And Castells, who's usually a decent goalie, looked completely out of it a couple of times, just didn't know what to do, had no control of his box. Well, if you do it like that, then scoring, you know, a bunch of goals becomes relatively easy. All you need is someone to open the Pandora's box. And this honor belonged to Tom Rothe, who celebrated his Bundesliga starting debut, and by scoring after a nice set piece, became the youngest debutant to score in the Bundesliga history. Mind you, he's not the youngest goal scorer ever. That honor still belongs to, you know, our very own Youssoufa Moukoko, but he's the youngest debutant that scored on his first game in the league. And at the end of the game, Borussia Dortmund had 3 17-year-olds on the pitch, which is also a Bundesliga novum, which has never been before. And I think Rothe actually had left the pitch at then. So there are some exciting young fellas coming up. And we talked about an under-19 team obviously winning the West. So yes, there's some exciting talent in the pipeline. That's great. And it just shows that Borussia Dortmund keeps on producing these young goal scorers. With Rothe now, who's in fourth just behind Nuri Sahin, another Dortmund legend, and third, and like I just mentioned, Youssoufa Moukoko, and number one, Borussia Dortmund has 3 players in the top 5 and 6 in the top 10. And if you're wondering now, who are the other 3 players? I give you a little hint. One is Captain America, who you may remember in black and yellow, and maybe the reason you're actually listening to this podcast. Of course, Christian Pulisic at number 8, then number 9, Lars Ricken, and number 10, Ibrahim Tanko, part of the baby forward duo with Lars Ricken in the 90s, the baby Sturm. So at this rate, it's not a coincidence. It shows that Borussia Dortmund doesn't just sub on youngsters for show or just, you know, for a few minutes. They actually give them an opportunity to contribute on the highest level, which also means in order to be a youngster at Borussia Dortmund, you have to be pretty freaking decent. I just think it's a great attribute of the club, a great part of our DNA, and I'm just looking forward to the new talent and hope they can make more inroads in the final games of the season. And maybe even in the game against Bayern. Why not? Why not bring on, you know, Gittens or Zimic or a more established youngster, Youssoufa Moukoko? There's a better best-case scenario there than the other way around. They have more to win than to lose. If we field a bunch of rookies and they don't fare so well, well, guess what? They're 17. They, you know, are allowed to make a few mistakes. And we've got hammered by Bayern with, you know, pretty much our A-team in the last couple of years. So even if it's a 2 or 3-0, that wouldn't be the end of the world. But they might actually have, you know, something to hold on, some experience, some just valuable high-stake match experience that you just cannot recreate in practice or in the youth Champions League or whatever. So, shoot, I'm all for it. I mean, I don't want to necessarily bring out the under-15-year-olds, but, you know, give a few more youngsters a chance to show something, and who knows? They might actually just bring that energy that we need to sustain and get a result in Munich. So, I'm all for it. Let's see what they can do. I'm always, you know, up for Mookie as well, even though he still, yeah, has issues and sometimes gets caught offside too many times, or, you know, has problems making runs and you know, in the combinations and such. But he always brings energy. He brings a certain dynamic that we are lacking otherwise when we're playing with guys like Reus and Brandt up there, who are just sort of straddling around. And you can see it with freaking Ansgar Knauf in Frankfurt, what it means if somebody that's young is kind of like let off the leash. They can reach unbeknownst heights for them and for the club. So again, let some of the youngsters roam free in Munich. I'm game. Even if it means we lose, if they play well, if they put in a decent effort, and if they can maybe at least score a goal or get some, you know, valuable experience, I'm all for it. And I mean, yeah, since we're speaking of Bayern right now, and Frankfurt a second ago, Bayern losing to Villarreal and Frankfurt ousting Barcelona is also a friendly reminder to clubs like Borussia Dortmund and Bundesliga clubs in general that 50 plus 1 might not be the sole problem or the problem at all at their mediocre showing in Europe. Because if anything, it means that Dortmund can also kick out a team like Manchester City, for example, which we came awfully close to last year. But the thing is, you actually have to believe it. You have to believe it. And not like believing, oh, we're better and it's, you know, it's a walk in a park. No, but you have to be willing to take that chance. Frankfurt went to Barcelona respecting Barcelona, preparing for Barcelona, but also not being scared of Barcelona. They knew what they did well, what they could do, and they attacked them relentlessly. They didn't were trying to leave something, you know, in the tank for later, which showed on the weekend where they lost again. They were willing to leave it all out there. And that's what you need to do in these big games. And Bayern didn't do this, didn't want to do that either. They thought they could cruise in Villarreal and then got lucky that they only lost by one goal. And then at home again, you know, they just sort of like went through their motions just very, very slowly up in the ante, and it was too little too late. And that's not how you're going to get it done, even at this level, even to get clubs that have only a fraction of the money that you have. And again, I've said it a bunch of times. If you look at Europa League, for example, even teams like Hertha BSC back in the days or Eintracht Frankfurt, well, they're obviously doing well. But Bayer Leverkusen, for example, they're playing and struggling to get results against, you know, teams that have a fifth of their budget, a tenth of their budget. Bodo Glimt versus Roma was another one of those things. So it's possible, but again, you need a plan, you need belief, and you need people to buy into it, and you need to write personal. And apparently we don't have that together right now, which sucks. What does that mean for Saturday? Well, we will see. Let's find out. I'm not necessarily about celebrating Bayern not winning. That's not my aim here. I'm more about hoping Borussia Dortmund does their best and Bayern does their worst. Obviously, I'm not super keen on watching that happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if it happens after this season where we've seen the team so often fall short in the moments of truth against, again, opponents that they should dominate, like St. Pauli and even the Rangers. I'm pretty sure the Rangers does not have the payroll that Borussia Dortmund have, but they had the belief, they had the support, and they had a plan, and they followed it to a T. But if worse comes to worse and Bayern Munich celebrates their 10th league championship in a row after the match on Saturday, well, then maybe that's the final wake-up call for some on the pitch and off the pitch in the front office. Because sometimes these blows straight to the face that hurt the most are the best life lessons and the ones that can motivate you more than, some of the hidden blows. Thank you for tuning in again to Believe in Borussia. If you like our content, don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, add us to your subscription list. And until next time, a black and yellow shout out across America.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.